Morning, church family. This morning I'll be doing the Bible reading, and it's from 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 7. I'll be reading from the ESV. So I'll just give you a moment to turn there. It's 1 Peter 3, verses 1 to 7. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy woman who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered.
Well, thanks very much, Lizelle. And we're going to be getting into that passage now. But just to say again, if you don't have your own Bible, we'd love to get a Bible to you so you can fill that in the newcomers form. And we're going to be opening up that passage. So have it open in front of you as we get in it together this morning. And I'm just now going to pray. Actually, just should mention as well, it's great to see Reed, even just some of the mum moments coming in today about cakes, time spent with one another, chats, even having some Maccas together. Beautiful. So I'm going to pray and then we get into this passage together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your word. And Father, we pray that you would give us humble hearts, ready to hear what you have to say. And by your spirit, may you plant your truth in our hearts that we might live it out in our relationships that you give us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm not the first to say it, but marriage is like a dance. In fact, little known fact, Kirsty and I like a good wedding day reception dance. Now, that's a photo from a very long time ago, but that's not what I'm talking about here. Marriage is like a dance in terms of the husband and the wife continually making moves for each other. In terms of our marriage dance, I'll give you some examples, both good and bad, only just from the last few days. There's the marriage dance move of having fun. Kirsty and I wanted to see a video project that Noah's been doing for his school. He refused to show us, so we did the thing that drives our kids nuts. And as Kirsty and I started to snog each other, grossing our son out, trying to force him to play this video for us, kept on kissing till he'd give in. He actually didn't give in. Oh well, win-win, I guess. There's the marriage dance move of petty resentment. See, I'm driving along and Kirsty comments on my driving, and I hate having comments made about my driving. So I just sit there driving, simmering, and really just being a petulant child. There's the marriage dance move of mundane chores. See, I put out the bin, whoever gets to it makes the bed. Kirsty gathers all the dirty clothes to do a millionth washing load. Kirsty asks if I can clean up the kitchen before she comes home with all the shopping. Now, there's the, I'm calling it the marriage dance move of being a boofhead. Like on Friday when I leave the saucepan on the stovetop switched on to boil away the remains of the poached egg I'm cooking till it's black and disgusting and smelling. I have to say sorry for nearly burning down the house, and Kirsty just comes in and cleans up the mess after me. There's the marriage dance move of cups of tea. Like when we watch Lego Masters together as a family, and we always have intermission so they can go and make cups of tea for Kirsty and Amelia. They seem to like that. Marriage dance moves, good and bad. And I want us to see now some dance moves, the Bible teaches us. And these are good marriage dance moves to thread through all the other moves of marriage that makes them even better. But one of them in particular is controversial. It said one of these moves should not be in the modern marriage. And there are reasons people say that. And we're going to talk about that. But it's this topic of submission. And we'll get to that. But I want to say three things today about marriage. And I hope this is really helpful for those who are married, but also those who aren't as well. And the three things are: Christianity is good for every marriage. Now, this is the marriage dance moves, the roles of voluntary submission and thoughtful love, and then the call to pursue an inner beauty. So here's the first one. Christianity is good for every marriage. Now, if we just dive in at chapter 3, verse 1, and also verse 6, has that phrase, in the same way, wives in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Then says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. In the same way. This is the link to something else that's come before. Now, it's chapter 2, verse 12. See, this letter is written to first generation Christians living in first century Roman Empire. And back then, this new lot, these Christians, are viewed with suspicion. They're quite dangerous. They follow this crucified Jew who they say rose to life and is now Lord of all. So Christians are starting to cop abuse for that. So what are Christians to do? Well, it says there, live such good lives among the pagans, that's unbelievers, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So then, as we've seen the last couple of weeks, the Apostle Peter applies this to Christians as they relate to non-Christian governing authorities. Then the Apostle Peter applied this to Christian slaves as they relate to their non-Christian masters. Now it's the turn of Christian wives who are married to non-Christian husbands. In the same way, live such good lives, they may accuse you of doing wrong, that they may see your good deeds. See, let's look at this passage again today. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. See, this is a marriage where a wife is a Christian and the husband is not. And I'm sure many of us realize that today, that this isn't even today an unusual situation. But this is the Roman Empire, okay? A Roman family was very religious, with household gods, with regular visits to the temple. And whatever gods the man of the house followed and worshipped, well, all the other family members followed as well. But not this wife. She's a Christian. She's become a follower of Jesus now. She's not simply following the husband's line. Can you see how gutsy this woman has to be? Now, this is written to Christian women, but I'm going to actually pitch this to the non-Christian, non-believer husband who might just be listening to this live stream. See, husband, you wonder if Christian faith is taking your wife away. You're concerned Christian faith is dividing your family. You're worried your wife has a greater devotion to God and church more than you. Well, the news is, non-Christian husband, your wife is devoted more to someone than you. She has a higher allegiance. But you see these words. Faith in Jesus isn't there to tear your marriage apart. It's there to make your marriage even better. It says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that any of them do not believe the word, and they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Now, I want to say this to such a courageous Christian woman. And I know some women who are in this situation. Maybe you've had all the words about God twisted round and thrown back at you. You're thinking, well, what's left for me to do now? Well, there is something you can do. Not in your words, but in your actions. That your Christian character can speak volumes. It's hard. But you're not without hope here. Again, if I had the chance to talk to the husbands, yes, your wife wants you to come to know Jesus. She wants you to be one to Jesus, but her devotion to Jesus means she wants good for you. She wants to love you well. Christianity isn't tearing your relationship apart. Christianity is good for marriage. It's good for every marriage. Now, that's the first point. Here's the second point. And we're in the territory now of marriage dance moves. And this passage talks about the roles for the Christian wife and the Christian husband. And that is voluntary submission and thoughtful, considerate love. Have a look at verse 1 again. It says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. So that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see their purity and reverence of your lives." Or look at verse 7. "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Now, I am linking the words to Christian wives about submission to Christian husband, to the words to Christian husbands about thoughtful love. Because even though the Christian wife is called to submit to her non-Christian husband, it's in a full Christian marriage where the beauty of this mutual complementing each other roles dance comes through. And there's much to be said on the topic of submission, so much more than we can cover today, especially in the light of domestic violence. You know, during COVID-19 lockdown, there's been a rise in the number of domestic abuse cases. That reality can't be ignored. And in church circles, sadly, submission has been weaponized as a way to keep women silent. That should not be. I know women who've been at the battering end of demands for submission. Just want to put this out there. If anyone is in this situation, we want you to know, to let you know that this church, that church leadership will respond in a way where we treat your safety as first priority. Please talk to us. Please talk to someone about what you're going through. But with that said, there is an inherent goodness, rightness to this dance. This isn't the only passage in the Bible that talks about marriage, roles, headship, submission. And verse 1, this word to submit, it's always voluntary submission. For this courageous Christian woman, the ball is in her court. It's her making the call on how to love and honour her husband. But true biblical submission is, "I grant leadership to you." The wife is saying, "It's my gift to you." That submission can never be demanded by her husband. When he demands it, he's lost it in terms of the role he should be taking. This is a big issue. I'd love to say more, but when you look at the sweep of how the Bible talks about submission, it's in no way subordination to your boss. It's actually more of a dynamic like in friendship. It's, "I grant leadership to you." A leadership that's about honouring and nurturing and sacrificing and serving. That's why it says to husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives. Literally, be considerate, be thoughtful, be understanding. Husbands, know your life well, know your wife well, so you can know how to love her well. And the good news is, ladies, husbands can grow to understand and know their wives better. In fact, that should be the journey of the married life, growing in thoughtfulness. Husbands, we can get better at this. Young husbands can make plenty of rookie mistakes, and I'm going to confess one of them to you right now. See, nearly 22 years ago, I was in charge of organising our honeymoon. It was going to be a surprise honeymoon. And part of the honeymoon that I organised was to go camping, which turned out to be in the mud and rain. Go figure why Kirsty wasn't that thrilled with my plans. And at the end of one camping day, as we're coming back from a really long hike, we walk past a restaurant on the edge of the national park, and Kirsty suggests that we eat at the restaurant that night because, you know, it's honeymoon. But I say, we can't do that. I'm planning my 2-minute surprise dinner, 2-minute noodle surprise dinner for you on our honeymoon. See, young husbands can be full of rookie mistakes. But I've got to say, I think I've gotten better since then. But that's why this word to husbands is be considerate, be thoughtful. Husbands, get to know your wife well so you can love her well. And this covers all areas of marriage. Consider your wife, be considerate recreationally, financially, sexually, socially, domestically, in how the house is run and how, you know, cleaning and how in the raising of kids. And when it says treat them with respect as the weaker partner, maybe weaker means by virtue of submission, the wife is in a more vulnerable position. I mean, submission does not come without risk. Puts you in a more vulnerable position. But also, this word about weaker partner might actually just simply mean in terms of physical weaker. You know, that's generally how genders work. Now, you know, every time Kirsty has opened a jar lid after I had a go, it's because I opened it first. That's what I say. But it's certainly not weaker in terms of intellect, problem solving, emotional stability, spiritual vitality, moral strength. I think the only thing I've got over Kirsty is that I can open up the jar lids most of the time. This dance within Christian marriage, submission, honouring, loving, sacrificing, is not about boss and servant. It's equals. It should be about friends. And see how it says in verse 7, together we're heirs, we're co-heirs, equal recipients of eternal life that Christ Jesus has secured for us at the cross. Voluntary submission, thoughtful love, that's such a good dynamic to have within marriage. My third thing I want us to see is how the Apostle Peter frames purity, goodness, personal holiness, her submission to her husband, her courage, her fearlessness in terms of pursuing an inner, deeper beauty. And it says from verse 3 there, your beauty should not come from outward adornment such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. See, fashion and looks was just as big a deal in Roman Empire for the upper middle class as it is today. And this is a message to Christian women to focus on Christian character, growing as a disciple of Jesus more than the latest fashion trends. Maybe it's even harder for women and men even today though. Because, you know, we have now things like Instagram. How much is Instagram full of the beautiful people? You know, sculptured by time at the gym, by time in surgery, you know, the right filter, the right dip of the chin, the right pout of the lips. I hear that for young girls when they post a photo of themselves. If they don't get enough likes, they'll delete it and repost again. You know, so much pressure to be Insta-worthy. So God's words to us is pursue something deeper. Says verse 4, something that's imperishable. You know, already we've seen in this series, just a couple of weeks ago, back in chapter 1, we learnt that the gospel of Jesus Christ is imperishable. It said, the flowers fade, but the word of God endures forever. Well, this is saying, as wrinkles grow and firmness fades, there's something in our life that endures, something that can actually get better, says a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. You know, this is what matters. This is what counts. This is what's beautiful. Becoming more like Jesus. It won't be Insta-worthy, but it'll be of great worth in God's eyes. It's not saying outward beauty has to be ignored. Not like after lockdown, can't go back to the hairdressers. But it's talking about what's important. Isn't it good to know that your value is not based on what your face cream can achieve for you? And husbands and fathers, we should affirm what really matters for our wives and our daughters, their character, their kindness. It is Mother's Day. I want to ask you, what is it about your mum that you remember? And I bet you don't think about how many grey hairs or how many wrinkles they had. Your treasured memories go somewhere else, doesn't it? I'm sure it's about her character, her love, her sacrifice, the way she looked after your dad, the way she looked after you. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. I just want to end on one other thing, and that is the power of following examples. In life, as men and women, as husbands and wives, we all follow the example of others, don't we? I mean, that's how fashion works. That's how trend works. We get caught up and we follow the trends. But verse 2, women are called to follow the example of holy women in the past. And mention Sarah, how she obeyed and submitted to Abraham. That's part of what the Bible does for God's people. We get help and we get guidance. We give it, given examples to follow. But the fact that for wives it says in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And then in verse 7 says, husbands in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, I don't think it's an accident that just before in this passage, we're given the example of Jesus. And it says there, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. In the same way also means in the same way of Jesus, who suffered for us, who went to the cross for our sin. He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He gave up his rights in order to serve others. By Jesus' death, we've been forgiven and healed and made right with God. We're not just left to ourselves now. We've been changed. We're called to live out that change in relationship with others. And that also means for husbands and wives. Husbands, you're to be like Christ. Wives, you're to be like Christ. And when imperfect but forgiven men and women who are growing in the image of Christ live this out, it's a beautiful dance together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, our Saviour, that he went to the cross for us. And I do pray that the reality of the gospel would sink deep into our hearts, that we might know Christ, and that might shape the way that we live with the people around us. Father, I do pray for marriages, husband and wives, that we might be shaped by the gospel with voluntary submission and thoughtful, considerate, understanding, sacrificial servant love. May Christian marriages display the beauty of following Jesus. Please give us the strength for that. And Father, may all the glory go to you as we live that out in this surrounding world around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.